Support for Great Minds is provided by The Wine Store in Naples. The Wine Store offers a unique selection of wines from small production, artisan, and family-owned wineries. Their in-store wine education center hosts classes for the novice and connoisseur alike. Details are at thewinestorenaples.com.
Welcome to Great Minds, the podcast that dives deep into the world of wine.
Where there are no political ads, no election results, no recounts, no way.
It is the day after Election Day, and therefore a day of great exhaustion for those of us in the news world.
So it stands to reason that we carve out a special part of the day to talk about wine and drink some, too.
I think we could all use a little of that.
I think we need tequila at this point.
Seriously, you know, I was thinking back on early philosophers and the formation of democracy in Greece and thinking about that.
Yeah, some light thinking for the day.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, democracy, where did it start? And how are things different then than there? You know what's different? We don't drink as much wine as we did back then.
You know what? They drank water like or wine like water.
They drank all the wine. So they were having a lot better time when they were talking about politics back then.
I'm going to take a cue from them.
Although right now, it might not be the time to start with that, with the heated political discussions. Those could come to blows at this point. But
no kidding.
Maybe, you know, let's call it a start over and start from zero now and just enjoy more cordial discussions
and include the wine. Yeah.
So, but we do have a schedule here on Great Minds, right?
And we've got to stick to it. And we're working our way through the 12 signs of the zodiac. And we're about midway through the sign and of Scorpio right now as we're recording this. So we have to assign a grape to that minx of a sign.
Let's talk about Scorpio people. They're the most deep and intense of the astrological signs. They are known to bring much more to the table than they initially appear to offer. They kind of hide it. They kind of hold it back, you know?
And then they're sneaky.
They're a little secret. They're not as secretive as Pisces people can be sometimes, but you don't really know what to expect. Some of the best known activists, Leon Trotsky, artists like Sylvia Plath, Pablo Picasso, thinkers like Marie Curie and Martin Luther are Scorpios. And it kind of shows how fearlessly vast and powerful the Scorpio mind can be. They're mysterious, again, sometimes a little secretive. They are very rewarding people to know, though, unless you're on their bad side.
Yeah, they can hold a grudge, and like none other,
like
pretty much.
Other.
Yeah.
So they're resourceful. Their strengths are resourceful, brave, passionate, stubborn, true friend. Weaknesses, they don't really trust people either. So as secretive as they may want to be, they also are not so trusting of other people.
That's why they're secretive.
Maybe. They can be a little bit jealous and occasionally get violent. They really like the truth. They like things being right. They like facts. They are longtime friends. They like to tease, and they have a whole lot of passion.
Indeed. Now, Scorpio is a water sign, so I guess that means emotions too, right? When we combine those two water signs, they express emotions. They live to experience their emotions. Emotions are very important. That goes back to where you're talking about the anger and that type of thing that can come out. Sometimes at the drop of a hat, of a pin.
And you know how all the different signs have a planet that is their ruling planet? They got Pluto. But Pluto's not
a planet
anymore.
No wonder they're angry.
Allegedly,
I lost my planet, man.
I'm ruled by that little teeny dude out there that used to be a planet. But, they're known by a calm, cool behavior and mysterious appearance. And maybe Pluto is mysterious. Maybe Pluto is going to be a planet again one day.
Maybe.
Who knows?
All right. So now that we've kind of delved into what a Scorpio represents and who they are, what grape are we going to pair with this?
I'm going with Petite Syrah. Yeah. You know, because you think about a Scorpio and you think about it, the image of a scorpion, they're dark. I mean, the scorpion is kind of a black thing. Sometimes they're different colors, but they have that dark, mysterious kind of thing about them. Petite Syrah in the glass is as dark as it gets, pretty much.
It is. And, you know, it's kind of a misnomer because you hear the name Petite Syrah and you think it's, oh, petite, it's going to be cute, fruity, something nice. No, there's nothing petite about a Petite Syrah. It's just not.
Yeah, it's like, who you calling petite?
Yeah, I'll show you.
The reason that the petiteness kind of doesn't fit and it's such a big thing, I mean, it's called petite because the little berries are little.
Right.
You know, so they
Which
look
means
little.
More concentrated when you know about agriculture and stuff, right?
Yeah, when you're making the wine, you're going to have more skin to juice ratio. And then in grapes like this, the flavor and all those tannins and all the bigness, you know, is going to come mainly from the skin. And if you got more skin to the juice, then you're going to have more of a concentrated situation there. So the name Petite Sirah is kind of weird, too, because it's spelled differently.
S-I-R-A-H, where Sirah, which a lot of people think it's the same, it's S-Y-R. You know, so there's the I and the Y and the...
Yeah, and then the petite, they put an E on the end.
Yes.
And so it's P-E-T-I-T-E-S-I-R-A-H, which is kind of different on in both ways.
Yes, indeed.
It first showed up in California in the late 1800s. It was brought in to kind of save the day after phylloxera had destroyed almost all of the true Syrah in the state. Legend has it that vintners thought that their Petite Syrah in France, it's known as Durif, was actually Syrah, so they kind of misnamed it. But that's really not true because there are records of Petite Syrah, also known as Durif, that came from France prior to its populating the vineyards throughout the state of California. Durif is the name of the guy who made the grape. He's the one who did the cross.
Or the cloning or whatever he did, the cross.
It's a cross of Syrah and Pelorsin, P-E-Pelorsin, P-E-L-O-U-R-S-I-N. So Mr. Durif crossed these two and named the resultant grape after himself, which is Durif is kind of not a super pretty name.
No.
I'm just snuggling in with a nice glass of Durif.
It sounds like
laundry detergent, doesn't it?
or something very dirty and earthy.
So exactly how this grape got its name is still a bit of a mystery. It's very Scorpio-esque. But, you know, little grape, so it's petite, cross of Syrah and Pelorsin, or Pelorsin. I think that the American grape namers thought that petite gave it a little French panache and then misspelled it promptly. And then they put the – they named Syrah S-I-R-A-H, thinking that they would simplify the French. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, American imperialism.
Here we go.
Cultural imperialism of Americans. Let's just rename it and change the spelling, and it sounds better.
Make it
easier
ours.
For us.
And, of course, you know how much I like to bring in wine when we're doing these, and especially something that
and
fits the
grape. And I don't say no.
As you should not.
Especially today.
I should have brought in two. You know, I just had one delivered today before I left my house, but it had been shaken up in the UPS truck for – you know, a little bit of time. And I thought, no, we're not going to do that today. We're going to let it rest.
Yeah, they need to chill out for about a week.
Exactly. So this one that I brought in is actually called French Bar.
French Bar.
French Bar. And it's like an homage to the spirit of the gold rush in California. So these grapes were grown at the base or the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas around Modesto in that area. It's actually made in Sonoma. From the Coleman Brothers Estate, Rock Creek Vineyards. So let's see how petite this is.
It sounds like kind of a larger producer if they have, you know, grapes coming from here, but they're being vinified here. So they might be one of those groups that have fingers in a lot of pies around the state.
Well, I know they also do a gold dust red, a blend, which I should have brought in as well.
Got a little heritage kind of action going there with the history of California stuff. Not, you know, distant history like the Greeks when they started the democracy and started drinking the wine and putting politics with it. But
and this is in the $20 range, by the way.
It smells 100% like Petite Syrah. It has that big, huge, fruity nose, blueberry kind of a feeling. And
definitely
it's
get the blueberries.
Just
in the
dark as can be.
Are your teeth? Wait, I haven't sipped any yet. I was going to ask you to look at my teeth before I leave today.
Yeah.
Make sure they're not all purple.
Yeah, this is.
They might be.
This is the one where you want to get Crest White strips before you drink too much of this stuff, because it will. If you tend to go purple on your teeth when you drink red wine, this is the one that's going to do it.
Baby. This is a.
It's big.
It's thick.
All right. Let's give it a try.
Yeah. And, of course, we just opened it. So that's another thing, you know, when we do these podcasts and you're drinking at home. Most of these wines could benefit from a little more time open for some more air. So we just pop the cork on this. I get some,
it's
some
good, though. It's
herbaceousness
easy.
To this, too.
Yeah, I got a little herbal feel going on there, a little bit of thyme.
Thyme, even maybe a little menthol in the back.
Yeah, a little like eucalyptus. Maybe it was grown near a eucalyptus grove. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that can have an impact on the way the grapes taste.
For sure. This is sustainable. They're certified green, and you know they do all the right things.
I love when they do that.
And these guys, they learn from their grandfather, and so it's something that's been in the family business for a long time. And so
is it expensive?
Paying attention. $20.
It's in the $20 range.
Yeah.
That's a fair price for
a nice big petite,
a decent red. This would be so great. With like a ribeye steak or something with some fat.
Yeah, I was thinking, what is that stuff you cook and you just put in the pot all day? The roast.
Slow cooker?
Yeah, but the
Brisket?
No.
Brisket,
I'll think about
brisket
it in a minute.
With barbecue sauce.
Something kind
sauce
of fatty like that, yes.
My mom used to do brisket with Kansas City style barbecue sauce, mm-hmm. a little bit of sweet tomato kind of version of a sauce on mm-hmm. the on the brisket. Oh, man, this would be perfect with that.
It would be, because especially if you have that little char on it.
Yeah.
On the meat.
Little
that little
char.
Crispy bit.
It's, ooh, it's like good.
It. Yeah.
So this grape really likes warmer weather. So it mm-hmm. does end up, because of that warm weather love, it develops some sugar. So it ends up mm-hmm. with some jammy notes, like that blueberry pie thing that we're getting. And again, you know, because of all that skin exposure, you're going to get the darkened teeth. The first vineyard to produce this varietally labeled Petit Syrah in California was Concannon.
Oh, that's right.
In Livermore.
In Livermore. Mm-hmm.
In 1961. And if you're ever in the East Bay, Livermore, Concannon is a really cool winery to go visit.
I've been hearing a lot more about people venturing into Livermore and experimenting and tasting and trying in that area when they go out. Excuse me, to the West Coast.
And it is totally perfect for something mm-hmm. like Petit Syrah because it gets hot.
Yeah, right.
H-O-T, hot. Like hot, hot. But then it cools off so much.
How do you spell
night.
That again? H-O-T?
I mean, like, I'm talking about all caps with an exclamation mark, bold, mm-hmm. italics. It's, I mean, like 118 degrees some days.
That's stinking hot.
It's way
it's worse than Florida.
But it's not really that humid. It's not the heat, it's humidity.
Yeah,
God,
whatever.
I had to say it.
118 is 118, period.
No, but it was hot. It was
okay.
painfully hot.
Yeah.
But then at night, it would cool down significantly. So you weren't, you know, you get a break.
Right.
And that's what the grapes love. They love when it gets super hot and then it cools off at mm-hmm. night. And then it gets super hot and cools off. Most grapes are very, very into that. It's called diurnal shift, I think.
Yes, the diurnal shift.
Uh-huh. We know our terms.
Slightly. But, you know, you think about that when you're talking about fruits. Even in Florida, where we're recording this from, you need some cold spikes in that citrus to get that really good juice and the sugar and the sweetness. So if it's warm, 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 you've got to have some cold temperatures and some heat back and forth to really develop that.
I wonder
fruit.
What it is about that conjures things up, like just giving it a break. I don't know.
I guess so. It freezes it. Well, just think about, now I'm going to get into the medical terms, like your muscle. You know, if you're trying to expansion and contraction, if you're trying to
when things
get
are
it
warm,
to heal.
They get bigger,
yes.
and then it mm-hmm. cooler. Maybe it moves things along when things squeeze together when it gets cooler. I don't know.
Next time we have a winemaker in here, let's ask about
I'm asking.
That.
I want to know. Or we can call the University of Florida IFAS people and ask them about that.
I guess we could do that.
They have plenty of scientists mm-hmm. there that would happily tell us about it for probably a full half hour.
And that would
maybe
not appeal
much.
To me. I'm just telling you right now.
As long as there's wine being passed around, we could take a full lesson.
Yeah, and we can edit, maybe.
All right,
we'll
so
go live.
Scorpio is Petit Syrah,
yes.
I think that's a really good pairing. It's like a dark, mysterious sign, a dark, mysterious grape. The origins, I mean, we know how it was made by Mr. Mm-hmm. Dourif, but how it got to California and the way, who decided to name it what it is. I mean, who put the S-I-R-A-H instead of S-Y. So there's some mystery there.
There is a mystery. And here's another thing. You don't see a lot of single varietals of Petit Syrah. I mean, I see it occasionally, but not a lot. I see it more blended. So when you're able to get one on its own and really taste the attributes of it, try it and just see how different it is. Because when it's hidden with or mixed with Cabernet and Merlot and Syrah and Malbec and some of these other nice big blends, maybe you could now pick out the depth that this adds to a blend.
I think this guy in a blend is the one that brings the muscle.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
He's mm-hmm. bringing the gun show,
yeah.
you know. But the other thing about that, too, is when you have a Syrah or a Scorpio in a group of people, mm-hmm. they're kind of that guy that's kind of like the anchor that mm-hmm. everybody's kind of like watching the movements of so that you know what I mean?
The leader of the pack?
Sort of like that, mm-hmm. But in a quiet, cool way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Grape Minds is produced at WGCU Studios on FGCU campus in Fort Myers, Florida. Our producers for online media are Anna Bejarano and Tara Callaghan. Technical production is by Mike Canary.
Grape Minds theme music for Zante is by Colin Mannon. To get in touch, check grapeminds.org. Thanks for listening.